Campus.
Do you prefer to play in smaller venues or more like in bigger venues?
We just do as best as we can, really. I guess like if we play like a bigger venue and only a few people come, then it's a little bit depressing, isn't it? You know what I mean? But yeah, like playing the bigger venues is pretty cool as well. It's a completely different vibe. You know, sometimes you can't really get that full connection with the crowd, but the atmosphere is completely different. And that in itself is pretty cool. But like, yeah, these shows are really intimate, and hopefully there's going to be a lot of crowd interaction. So, yeah.
I read in that interview that you also from the DIY scene.
Yeah, this is kind of the stuff that we are really comfortable playing, these kind of venues. We kind of cut our teeth, you know, doing DIY tours and playing very small rooms, sometimes house shows. And yeah, we're very comfortable doing that. But I feel like with the new music that we've been making, we feel like these songs are a little bit more like better suited for a bigger, wider stage, you know. Since we started using like, you know, synths and stuff like that. It's been awesome trying out these new songs on bigger stages. So, yeah.
And is there still a DIY scene in Blackpool where you're from?
There never was. I mean, there was, but it was something that we tried to cultivate before Boston Manor started. And we all played in local bands, and we all, you know, we all put on shows for each other. And it was amazing. Like, all of our friends would always come down. But one by one, the venues would just close down. And until the bands either broke up, and then there was this nothing really left in Blackpool. And we've always been really interested in trying to get it back started again, but we've not really had much time, you know. I think
We're never really home, to be honest, but yeah, I mean, it's getting better. There's a couple of venues now, and they have a really big venue there, so very very occasionally there'll be a massive band come through. So I think, like, who's playing there? So is it Foles? Yeah, Foles is playing, which is mental. But the venue's like 3,000 to 5,000 cap, so it's not really any use to young kids trying to play music that the only venue we have is fucking enormous. So yeah, we're trying to find a new venue, really. There's a cool little one, but we haven't really done much. We haven't ever really played a show at Blackpool because there wasn't really anywhere to play, so we just went to Manchester instead because it's near. So that's kind of our like surrogate hometown, really.
Surrogate, nice.
Yeah. Would you say it's kind of hard to get to play as a young band?
Mate, it's fucking impossible.
In Blackpool, yeah.
Anywhere. It's logistically, financially, a fucking Everest to do. It's borderline stupid to even attempt at this point. Not trying to put anyone off by any means, but
Music and art has become for the rich.
It has become for the rich. Straight up, man. If your parents now can't let you live in their house till you're 30, you probably won't. You'll have to probably just quit and do another job. It's the streaming giants have absolutely sold us down the fucking river. The major labels sold everyone's rights away to the streaming giants. And, you know, a lot of governments. I know some countries are really good. I think a lot of European countries are really good at subsidising bands' fees. I know Australia and Canada are really great at that. Our government are all right. We actually got quite lucky, and we got a grant to offset some of our overseas touring costs once, which was really helpful. But I mean, it's a drop in the ocean, really, for how expensive it is to get 10 people to travel all around the world and play 250 shows a year. You know, it's so expensive to do that. So yeah, it is really, really difficult when some little gobshite's got, you know, Audacity or fucking Logic on his MacBook, and he just makes some dumb little trap song in his bedroom and then signs to Atlantic for $10 million. So in that world, like, why would you want to pick up a guitar and start playing music unless you were really, really passionate about it? So that's what drives this whole scene, is pure unadulterated passion, which is great to see, because the kids feel the same way. Like, we only do this because there's 350 kids coming tonight that really want to hear us play music, and we're so lucky, and we're one of the lucky ones, man. Like, so many bands, I've seen so many bands way better than us that have just had to throw in the towel because they can't fucking eat, they can't pay rent, you know. It's hard, it's really hard. So especially being from the north of England, there's nothing going on there, really.
you already mentioned like streaming portals like maybe Spotify or like Apple Music. Do you think this is like a huge problem in the music scene, and how could it change?
Mate, I have no idea.
I think it's a double-edged sword, to be honest, mate. Because before Spotify and Apple Music, I'd say if we tried to do this band 10 years ago, it would have been even worse, because obviously Napster and LimeWire, you could just go straight to the internet and download music for free, which you can still do today. But I guess with Spotify and Apple Music, they've made it, they've managed to monetize it a little bit better. And I feel like people are being a lot better at buying subscriptions or downloading
I've
music.
I've got to disagree with you there, man, because the reason being is that I always thought, oh, well, you know, at least people kind of discovered us through Spotify, and that's where most people actually find our music. We've never been like a big like YouTube band or whatever, but Spotify is where a lot of people go to listen to us. But then the more I think about it, we've toured our fucking arses off for like 6 years, and you know, I think if we were in the CD in the 90s era and CD era, like, we probably would have, even on our own backs, we would have managed to cultivate some sort of fan base just from doing that. So, I mean, you can't make money on it, like, on streaming. It's insane. And I get why all these big artists have just not done it, because they don't need to.
Yeah.
I think I think per play, you get 0.001 pence for a play.
Cents,
sorry. So even fucking less. And it's just nonsense, and I'm sick of people acting like, oh, what's the way forward? Because the problem is now is you can't put the genie back in the bottle. Like, it's done now. You can't undo this. We can't go back to, like, everybody paying for music. It's just done. But, you know, that's thanks to all these streaming giants. And, you know, it is what it is, so I'm whinging and complaining about it, but Spotify have been really good to us. They've put us on playlists and stuff, and that's great. But, you know, if I could undo it all and go back to the old system, I absolutely fucking would do. But
luckily, there's been a vinyl revival as well, though, which is, I think, has helped a lot of people wanting to buy physical copies of your music. Which, you know, because I always bought CDs of my favorite records
Why
and bands
is
that I like.
Still boiling.
But yeah, if it wasn't for the vinyl revival, I feel like people just wouldn't be at all interested in owning a physical copy of your music. But yeah, like I guess Henry says. I think the streaming is probably almost a good thing for like exposure and stuff like that, and I think it does bring a little bit of money into or revenue into bands, but and it's better than nothing. But yeah, it still kind of sucks, really.
It's driving people to make fast, get rich quick music with get in, get out, and because all these people, they're looking at algorithms, but in these made massive labels, they're not looking at. Like, they have no interest in funding art. The reason we had all these cool records, like you look at Tool, who made the weirdest fucking music, but they sold millions of records, was because back then you had people in these labels that were actually into music, and they wanted to cultivate art, and actually they were just into it. And so they would, obviously there was more money back then, but they would invest in art. But now people are literally they're treating it as such a product, and they're going, well, if we get this guy who has this look and this social media presence, we'll put him in with this producer, we'll get this mixer to do this, and then we'll put this marketing team in charge of marketing it all. And there you go. We even have an algorithm to calculate how much money that'll generate. It's not feasible. None of this music is long term. They're not thinking about actually investing in art anymore.
It's almost like buying insurance for them now, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is.
They crunch all the numbers, and if they see that they're going to turn out a nice little tasty profit, then they'll do it. But
don't let anyone fucking tell you that there's no money in music. There's more money in music than there's ever been. It's just not going to anybody except massive corporations. And that just is what it is. We want to sign to one, so give us loads of money. No, I'm kidding.
www.kerncampus.com